All of us want to be a success. I don't know anybody that wants to be a failure. You want to be a failure? We don't want to fail. We want to succeed. We don't ever want to fail, because failure doesn't feel good. Failure is a defeated mentality, and Jesus came that we may have success. He came that we may overcome failure so we can succeed. In fact, in Deuteronomy 28, the word of God came to Moses, and he told his people, he says, I want you to be, my plan is for you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to be on top and not the bottom. On the top only, he said. I don't ever want you to be on the bottom. In other words, he always wants us on top of our game. He always wants us in the head position. He always wants us to be the first in that which is good. In fact, it should be so much that we're winners, and that people would want to be like us. You know, people love winners. They love winners. They love winners. Michael Jordan, the reason why he was so popular, because he was a winner. Kobe Bryant, because he's so popular, because he's a winner. Winners are those that succeed. And God wants us to succeed. Failure is not what God has for us. That's not his plan for us. It's for us to succeed. And so many people try so hard to succeed. In the business world, you see people trying hard to succeed. Hard. No one wants to be a business failure. They do everything. They go to classes. They travel miles and miles trying to get business or trying to succeed at business. Or whatever they're doing, like Ryan said. Ryan got up and gave that testimony earlier. He said, I thank God that I made what 100 on my math test. He was proud of that. He was glad that God helped him do it, because he knows a zero was not an option. An F was not an option. An F means failure. And God wants us to be A people. 100%. But God has a plan for us to actually acquire or to attain that goal. And this morning I want to talk to you from the subject called success and the prophetic. Someone say with me, success and the prophetic. How many of you know you can't truly be successful without God? The blessings of the Lord, says the Bible says, the blessings of the Lord maketh one rich and adds no sorrow. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. God wants to bless you and without any sorrow. Now I want to read with you, if you look in your notes, from Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. If you were to read along with me there. God's going to spell out the plan to Joshua. Joshua, if you understand this passage, Moses had died. He had gone. God had died. Now they hadn't crossed over the Jordan. Now it was Joshua's turn to lead. And Joshua was supposed to take the children into the promised land and take over the promised land. Now we find out that when Moses sent spies over into the promised land, there were some giants in the promised land. There were some other people that occupied the promised land. And if they were to ever attain what God wanted for them, they were going to have to do some fighting. They were going to have to overcome some challenges. God never said that we were not going to have challenges in our life, but he did say that we shall overcome, because he's overcome. So, looking at Joshua chapter 1, Verse 6 through 9, it says this from the NLT. Be strong. This is God talking to Joshua. Be strong and what? Courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to the promise. to possess the land. I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in some things. Everything you do. Verse 8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you do what? Prosper and what? Succeed in what? All you do. This is my command. Verse 9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is laying out the plan to Joshua, but he's also laying out his plan to us. You see, the things that we read in the Old Testament are a pattern. They are a pattern. They are an example. They are a shadow of things that were to come. They were a thing, something that was to come. What Joshua's experienced as he was going into the promised land, we are experiencing spiritually in our promised land. We are in the day of promise. We live now in the day of promise. We live in the promise. Where there was hope for the promise, we live in the promise. Because Jesus has already come. He has brought what the promises of God, because in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are yea and amen. In other words, they're fulfilled in Christ. So what Joshua was saying here, there was a pattern. Yeah, I want you to go in this promised land. I want you to possess what God said he's going to give them. The promises God said, he says, but I'm going to give you the plan of how that's going to happen. And I'm telling you, he told Joshua, he says, I want you to listen to what Moses said to you. Amen. Listen to what Moses gave them some instructions. Moses gave them a plan that was written down in the Torah, the book of law. He says, he told them, this is what I want you to do when you go over into the promised land. I don't want you to walk away from, this is what I command you. God was commanding the people through Moses. Now, when we look at Moses, he says, okay, now some people are still right there at Moses. Some people still live at Moses. But if you have your Bibles, just turn with me real quick to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to read it from the NLT. But I want you to hear what Moses says, because Moses lived in a day of, he was living in a day of patterns and shadows with the temple and examples of what was to come. But when we get to 18, verse 15, Moses is prophesying about another day that's going to be like his day. And this is what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 15. It's not in your notes, but I want to give this to you. It says this, Moses continued. He was talking to the people. He says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among your fellow Israelites. And then he gave this command. He says, you must listen to him. He says, you must listen to him. For this is what you yourselves requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see this blazing fire, for we will die. Verse 17. Then the Lord said to me, what they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you among your among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. You see that? And he will tell the people everything I command them. And I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the message of the prophet proclaimed. The prophet proclaims on my behalf. Who Moses was talking about, he was actually foretelling Jesus. And a cross reference to that, if you have any cross reference, it's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 3. He talks about this prophet and he quotes what Moses said right here. So he's telling us, Moses saying, yeah, I've given you this command that's written on stone. And I've given you these commands and all these things right that I wrote down. But there's another prophet coming. He didn't say prophets. A prophet. He was talking about Jesus. That's coming, and you're going to need to listen to him. Amen? So he was saying there's a prophet does what? He gives prophecies, right? He speaks the word of God. He gives you what God is saying. He says, there's another prophet coming. That prophet was Jesus. Jesus has come to declare what God was saying, and he's telling us, and that was for us today. So we're guided by what Jesus is saying today, not what Moses said. That's a type and shout. We can learn something about Jesus through what was written, but we have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus can talk to us. Amen. So he's telling we have to listen to him. If we don't listen to him, he says, then God's going to deal with us personally. So Moses said, God was telling Joshua, listen to everything Moses commanded you. He's telling us, that was a pattern, if we want to be successful in everything we do, we got to listen to this prophet Moses was talking about, which we have to listen to Jesus. If we miss that, because we'll go through Scripture trying to find success, but we won't find success looking through Scripture. The Scripture always points us to Jesus. But if we miss that, we won't find success. We will never find it. So we're talking about success and the prophetic. So when we're talking about Jesus, I want to give you four requirements if we're going to be successful. Because the only way to be successful is really with Jesus. The only way to be successful is really with God. Because God knows the path to go on. How to make it. I'm talking about good success. I'm not talking about success that comes and it fails in another in the next 20 years. I'm not talking about success that goes away when the recession goes down. I'm talking about success that sustains itself, always going up and never down. There is no recession in God's kingdom. There is no recession in what God says. The world is not, God is not affected by the world. And he says, my people, if they walk by what I'm telling them to do, he said, they'll be successful in everything they do. Amen. So I want to share with you four requirements for prophetic success. I'm talking about success. When I say prophetic, God-ordained success. There is success that the world gives you, but it's short-lived. It doesn't last forever. It comes with sorrow. And it will hurt you. It will break relationships. It will cause your family to go down because you can work so much trying to make a dollar that you can break. You won't even have to spend no time with your family, your friends. You'll damage your health, and you'll give away your money to people that don't really know you. God wants us to have good success. Amen. And let me tell you something. God wants you to be wealthy. Did y'all know that? He wants you to be wealthy. A rich man can do a whole lot more than a poor man can. Did you know that? He can do a whole lot more for people. I'm being honest with you. Can a rich man do a lot more than a poor man can do? I'm just talking about helping people. He can do a whole lot more. He can do a whole lot more to getting people's attention. He can do it. I mean, it's the truth. And God wants us to be successful, so he gives us a plan how we can do it. So I'm going to give you four requirements. And I guarantee you, if you follow these things, you will become successful. You will. It's going to be simple, but it's true. The first requirement is this: we must hear, huh? We must hear. We must hear. We must hear a prophetic voice or prophetic words of Jesus Christ. How many of you know God still speaks? He still speaks. I'm not talking about go to your Bible and pick up some verses. I'm talking about going into your prayer closet and getting a word from the Lord. God still speaks. He's still talking to you. He still talks to me. If we will listen, he's there talking. He's trying to give us his plan, but so many of us, we give God our plan and then go out and ask him to bless it. And God's going like, I have a plan. Why are you bringing me yours? He already had something that he wanted you to do as his people before long ago. He already knew what he wanted to do in your life. He already knew what was going to lead to success. He already knew where you are, when you were born, what it was going to take. Many times we devise our own humanistic plans and they fail. And we blame stuff and says, well, I hear people say, well, you know, the recession is affecting the kingdom. I said the recession is not affecting the kingdom. It never has. That's a lie. It's an ungodly belief. The kingdom is not affected by what happens here on earth. Heaven is not affected. God is not affected. He has a plan that works regardless. But we must hear the prophetic voice or the prophetic words of Christ. And I'm not talking about scripture now. I'm talking about a spoken word to you. Now, someone says, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that God really speaks. I don't know. How can you hear Jesus speak? A lot of Christians believe that. But Jesus said he speaks. He said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. I will lead them to green pastures. Good pastures. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. It's in your notes from the New Century Version. Chapter 3, verse 20 to 22. It says this. And he, talking about God the Father, and he will send who? Jesus, the one he chose to be the Christ. But Jesus must stay where? In heaven stay in heaven until the time comes when all things will be made right again. Now that's what some of y'all brothers think, that Jesus is coming back any day now. He is not coming back any day now, because all things have not been restored. All things have not been made right yet. So the Bible says what? That he must remain where? He coming back any day now? No, he's not coming back any day now. He's going to remain in heaven until everything has been made right again. So all this stuff that's going on, the world is failing, but the people of God is standing on his word are still going up. And if the people of God will just live according to God's word, they won't go down, and the world will be looking at them saying, I want to know your God, because out here it ain't working. Out here, it ain't number stress and pain and death and all this stuff is going on. But in the kingdom, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And we're God's representative on earth. We represent the kingdom. And our life represents that. Then it says, God told about this time long ago when he spoke through his holy prophets. So we see the prophets talked about him, right? Then he goes on in verse 22, he says, Moses said, now we just read the verse, the Lord your God will give you a prophet like me, who is one of your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. I'm speaking the same apostolic message that Peter spoke way back then in the first century. He's telling him, he says, you got to follow everything Jesus tells you. He said, well, Jesus ain't on the earth no more. No, he's not. He's in heaven. So how are we going to hear his voice? How are we going to know what he's telling us today? Look at John. It's in your notes from the New Century Version. St. John, chapter 16, verse 14. Listen to what it says. The Spirit of truth will bring glory to me. This is Jesus talking. He will take what I have to what? He will take what I have to say. Jesus is saying, he will take what I have to say and tell it to who? To you. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to take the words that's in heaven that Jesus is speaking, bring it down to you, and tell it to you. Why? So you can have success. So you can follow everything he tells you to do, and you'll walk in the things of God, and you'll have success in all you do. He's telling us we have the ability, but it does not come without you having that relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy because the Holy Spirit is who gonna bring, who is the person or the Spirit or the person of the Godhead who's gonna bring us the Word of God. It's not picking up your Bible and finding a bunch of scriptures and declaring them. He's saying you got to hear what God is saying, and the Holy Spirit brings you what it's saying, and you take that word, and that one God says, I want you to meditate on them. That's what he told Joshua, right? So you'll obey him. He says, I want you to hear what God is saying, and I want you to meditate on it. I want you to hear what God is saying, and I want you to meditate on them. I want you to roll them over and over in your heart. I want you to write them on a piece of paper, put them before your eyes, and constantly look at them, because it's going to help you obey what he said. It comes by a prophetic word. Amen? We got to have, we must be able to hear the prophetic word or the prophetic voice of Jesus Christ. I always say, when I minister to people, I say, when we're talking about discipleship, the first thing we should teach people about in Christianity, about in kingdomship and the people of grace, the first thing we need to teach them is how to hear from God. Not what you need to wear to church. Not you need to come to church on every Sunday. Not I want you to read half the Bible. He says, I want to teach you now you how to hear God's voice, because if you can hear God's voice, even when you read this book, the Holy Spirit can teach you what the book is really saying. Amen? So we need to hear his prophetic voice. We need to hear the prophetic words of Jesus Christ, and they come by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven now. He ain't coming back no time soon. But his Spirit is on the earth today. And he brings us whatever Jesus says. Y'all agree with me? Amen. Amen. Point number two. After God has given us his word, we've learned to hear his voice. We hear what he's saying to us. Number two, we must have faith in what Jesus says to us. I'm sorry. We must have faith. Come on. We must have faith. That bottom one is one, number two. We must have faith in what Jesus says to us. We must have faith in what Jesus says to us. Because a lot of times when Jesus comes to us and speaks, it's so different. It's so unusual. It's like nothing the world has ever heard of. And it's so, so different. But guess what? What he says, what he tells you, what he declares to you, we're going to have faith in what it says. Because you're not going to be able to lean to your own understanding on this. You're going to have to trust God. When God speaks, you got to understand that the way he thinks is not how we think. We got to understand that God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55. In fact, let's just go there, because a lot of times we would miss that. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. Verse 8, I think it's 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55. This is what God said. Verse 8 and 9. He said, my thoughts are not, this I'm reading from the NLT. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And he says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. And he says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And what is he saying? He's saying, he says, when I talk to you, when I speak to you, when I share with you what's on my mind, Jesus says, I'm bringing it to you by the Holy Spirit. And when I speak to you, it's going to require your faith, even your faith without even really understanding what he's saying. You got to trust what he says. You got to receive what he says and say, okay, God, I don't understand this, but I believe this. I believe what you say. Because what you say, God, what you say, Jesus, what you bring to me from God, the Father, from Jesus Christ that's in heaven, he says that what you bring to me is what's going to cause me. What you bring to me is what's going to cause me to walk in, what's going to cause me to prosper, what's going to cause me to have success. It's going to cause me to be blessed. It's going to cause me to excel and be rich and successful in everything I do. But you're going to have to get beyond what you understand. You're going to have to get beyond. If you ever, because everybody else may not understand it. My grandmother used to always tell us, she used to say, before she died when I was younger, it's passed down through our family. She always says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not to your what? Don't lean on to your own understanding, because you ain't going to be able to understand what God is doing. You just got to learn to hear him, and when you hear him, you got to believe him. And he says, then you acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall do what? He's going to let you know how to get there. So he's telling us from the beginning, he says, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to prosper you. That's what he told Joshua, right? I'm going to prosper you, and you're going to be successful in everything you do. He says, but you're going to have to hear what I say. He told Joshua to listen to Moses. He tells us to listen to Jesus. He says, you got to listen to what I say, and when you do that, I'm going to guide you in the way that's going to cause you to have success, everything you do. And you're going to excel, and you're going to increase, and all the nations of the earth will watch you and says, I don't know how he did it, but he's on top, and he's going to be on top always because he's following God's way. But we may not understand it, and we won't understand it because he's telling us. He's telling us that we have to have faith. We have to have faith. Faith is not by our understanding all the time. And faith is not, and what God says does not depend on where it's spoken. When God speaks to you, Mother Haynes, he's not speaking to you and says, I wonder if she has enough ability to do this. Because it's not about your ability, it's about his ability. It's about the grace of God. The grace of God is interesting because the grace of God really means that you operate by what God is doing and what God is saying and how strong God is. You can be weak, broke down, and don't know nothing. But God says, I will take those things that are weak, those things that don't know anything. He says, I can make them wise and I can make them strong. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about him. We do it in his strength. We know it in his strength. We do everything in his strength because we are people of God. And what makes us powerful, what makes us strong is not because we're wise in our own selves. It's because who God is in us. That's all it's about. That's all what it's about. He can take a poor man that ain't never been to school never been to school, and make him the richest man in the world. And it's not about him, how much he know. It's about how much God has put him. God just whispered something into his ear. Go do this. I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And all of a sudden, God excelled. I was talking to the man that owned this building. He was telling me about, he's been in this area for a long time. He's like one of the small city. He was telling me about some of the people, like, you know how you get down like Henry Clower, you know, Henry Clower Boulevard, and all these names, all these people, like Snail, the Snails, they were people that, families here. He said, he was telling me about how they became rich. He said, one guy, he said, they all went to school together, most of them didn't even finish school. He said, one guy, they asked him in South Carolina to dig a hole, you know, in trenches, to build a pipeline across this, down this path, and it was like marshland. And, you know, you can't even put trucks down there to do anything. It would sink. And he was saying, I don't know. He said, he didn't even want the job. He said, I just went and did the job anyway. He said, he went down there, he made a bid so high. It was like, during those days, it was millions of dollars. He was like, I don't even want the business. I know they're gonna reject my contract because I don't even want this. I'm gonna bid so high that everybody, hiding everybody, they don't even accept my bid. So he bid it higher than everybody. I think it was like millions and millions of dollars. And when he did that, he said, interesting enough, he got the job. He said, oh my God, I don't know how I'm gonna go do this thing because I can't do this. He said, but God blessed him. That there was a drought that year and dried up the swamp land. So it was hard bed, and he was able to do his trucks and break the pipeline, built it, and he built it because there was so much profit in what he had in it, he thought he wasn't gonna get it. He became an instant millionaire. Instantly. I mean, it was multi-millionaire status from nothing. He said he had never did a job like that in his life. He was automatically a millionaire overnight because God showed him something. God knew something that he didn't know. He had known something. God knows how to bring you out of Red Sea and part it right in front of everybody and allow you to walk across on dry ground. He knows how to do this. He knows how to bring water out of a rock. But he's telling you, all I need you to do is trust what I'm saying. Just have faith in what I say. Amen. So he's telling us, let's look at Mark chapter 9 from the TV, chapter 9, verse 23, it's in your notes. He said, yes, said Jesus, if you yourself can, everything is possible for the person who has faith. You see that? Everything. When God speaks, it's possible. If it wasn't possible, he would have never told you. If God speaks to you, you're going to have to believe what he says. Based on whatever he says, it's going to happen. He's not a God that will lead us down rabbit trails just to see if we'll go. He has a blessing at the end of it. He says, I want to show you something. I want to show you what I can do. And so a lot of times our mind stops us from believing God. God will tell you some crazy stuff that sounds crazy to you. You be like, man, that don't sound right. And you be like, man, I don't know if that was God or not. But I'm telling you, God will speak to you some wild, outlandish things that make sense to you. But our mind gets in the way and says, I can't believe God would do something like that. I don't see how he would do that. I don't see. We don't have the faith to walk in it. Amen? And it's because, number one, we're going to find out later, it's going to be because, number one, we're too fearful or we're discouraged because we look at ourselves. That's what's the bottom line. We're too scared. I always say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I get discouraged with what I look at myself and what I'm going through and what I got and what I'm dealing with. We get discouraged. And God says, I don't want you to be discouraged. He says, I want you to just have faith. Amen? because everything is possible with God. First requirement is that we must hear the prophetic words or the prophetic voice of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit brings that his words to us. He stays, Jesus in heaven. He ain't coming back no time soon. His Holy Spirit's here to bring us the word of God. Amen. So then we have to have faith in what Jesus says to us. We have to have faith in what Jesus says to us. And number three is this. We must have unmodified obedience to what Jesus said. We must have unmodified obedience to what Jesus says. What am I talking? He told Joshua in Joshua 1:7, it's in your notes from the NLT. He says to be strong and very courageous. He says, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave to you. Now, this is a pattern and shadows. He's telling us, be careful to obey everything Jesus says to us. He says, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave to you. Do not do what? Deviate. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Then you will be successful. What is he saying? He said, when Jesus tells us to do something, just be exact. Just be exact. He will never tell you to do something you can't do. He'll never tell you to do something you can't do. It's something that we may be afraid to do, but it's not something that we can't do. He told Moses, just put your rod up, just raise your hands over the water. That's all he wanted him to do. And he was going to depart the waters. He tells us, he'll tell us just to do one thing. But we'll say to ourselves, well, if I do that, I'm worried about this is going to happen. If I do that, how I'm going to do this? Or how I'm going to pay for that? And God is saying, don't worry about all that. He will take care of you. He has not sent you on a mission to fail. Never. I'm not that old, but I'm telling you, every time I put my faith in what God said, he has never failed. Ever. It's always worked out to my benefit, and it always excelled me farther than I ever could have done. Amen. So he tells us not to modify it. He says, I don't want you to turn to the right. I don't want you to turn to the left. When you hear him speak, if he says, all I want you to do is go down here, I was thinking about it. If he tells you to go in and I want you to go to this certain place, I want you to just stand there for a day. Just stand there. I know a friend of mine, he had a doctor's bill. He got his knee. He has messed up his knee. And he couldn't, his doctor bill was like $2,000 and he didn't have the money. Because he was an independent contractor, so he had to pay for it himself. And he said the Lord told him, I don't know, y'all might know, remember Chris Latson? Chris Latson, he messed up his knee. God told him to go, I think it was like the farmer's market or somewhere. He says, I want you to go in. He told him the place to go. He says, I just want you to go there and stand. He was like, God, stand for what? I mean, that looks stupid, just stand? He said, God just told him to go. He went to the, so he just said, okay, I'm going to go. He went to the farmer's market and found a place, and he just stood. And he was just standing around there for a minute. He was just standing. He was like, hang on, why is people coming up? Like, can I help you? He was like, oh, no, I'm okay. You know, he was just standing and standing. People were like, why does he just keep standing here? At first, after a while, you know, because we get a little antsy after a while. Like, God ain't came yet. I think it was a few couple of hours he stood. Just stood there. He was like, man, that hurt God. So he continued to stand. Then a little while later, a man came running into the farmer's market. He saw him standing there. He said, I don't know what the Lord told me to give you that hand, a $2,000. I didn't know his name. Gave it to him and ran out the door. He didn't know what but he looked, he said, it was exactly what God wanted, he needed for his doctor bill. He didn't know what God was going to do, because a lot of times God won't tell you what he's going to do. He just tell you to obey. But he did, and God blessed him, and God did exactly what he's going to do in his life. But he had the courage, he had enough courage and enough. He didn't modify it. He didn't say, I'm going to go sit in my car and wait. He went and stood right where God told him. although it don't make sense sometimes. And let me tell you, if you're going to follow God, things don't make sense to you sometimes. It's probably not going to make sense to you all the time because his ways are not your ways and his thoughts are not your thoughts. So it won't make sense to you. So don't think, oh, that's something I would think about. No, it's not. That ain't God, because God don't think like you. He's going to think something different. And when he puts something in your mind, if you can open your mind up enough to receive. Now, just get your mind out of the way and receive what he's saying. And just believe. And so I'm just going to be crazy enough to believe. And watch God radically change your life and show you a whole nother different way. Amen? So we must hear his prophetic words of Jesus Christ. We must have faith in what Jesus says to us. We must have unmodified obedience to what Jesus says to us. My fourth and last point is this. We must have boldness and courage to obey what Jesus tells us. If we're going to walk out this thing, I'm talking about where you just, because I believe God wants us to be rich. I'm be honest with you. I'm be really honest with you. I know God wants us to be rich. I know God wants us to have more than enough. And I'm not just talking about, you know, we filled up on two biscuits, he gave us three. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he wants us to have like a biscuit businesses all over the world. Billions and billions of dollars. I believe because he said, because the word says, when you look at what he's written in the Bible, which is he tells us what he wants to do, he says, I want to make you so rich that the nations of the world will look at you and says, you're blessed. That's what he said. I want to make you so that when people look at you, they don't know how you did it, but they're going to say, you got so much. And people will come to you asking you, and you would never have to borrow from them. I can see them coming to you and say, hey, I want to know your advice and your wisdom on some things. Not because you're just a smart person, because you did something they couldn't do. I believe that. I believe that God wants his people, just like he said in Deuteronomy, always on top and never on the bottom. I know God wants his people always on top, expressing the kingdom and never on the bottom. But for us to get to that level, we're going to have to walk according to his success. We're going to have to hear his voice. We're going to have faith. We're going to have unmodified, but we're going to have boldness, and we're going to need courage. Not it's gonna have both, just to hear his voice, and not hear, I believe we hear his voice, but I mean, just to be able to say, okay, God, I believe, and I'm gonna obey, and I'm not gonna change what you said. You're gonna have to have that much boldness. You're gonna have to have that much courage, because boldness means, the opposite of boldness means to be timid and afraid. The opposite of being courageous means to be discouraged, because there's gonna be a whole lot of haters. There's going to be a whole lot of haters. They're going to call you crazy until they see the blessings flow on you. And then they're going to wonder how you did it. They're going to come to you going like, I don't know, man, that just happened overnight. I don't even know what happened. How'd you get here? And all you're going to be able to say, I don't know. I just obeyed God. It was the grace of God. That's what it's going to take. That's what's going to take. If you want to lift your life, if you want to move to a plane, a supernatural plane, you're going to have to learn to just hear God's voice. Open up your heart and just make a determination. Okay, God, for you I live, for you I die. And that's basically the attitude you're going to have to take. Because you ain't going to know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. You're just going to say, okay, Lord, this don't make sense to me, but I'm just going to go and jump in and do what I got to do. I'm going to do what you said. I'm just going to stay there and do what's going to happen. See what's going to happen. Knowing in your heart that he's never called you to do something so you can fail. He will call you to do something so he can exceed, so he can show himself strong on your behalf. He will show people that who he is through you and how strong he is through you. And the Bible says that he's looking for people. he can do that to me. He's looking for people who he can do that through. I'm going to close with that scripture, but I want to finish here. It says, we must have boldness and courage to obey what Jesus tells us. Joshua 1:9 from the English version says this, remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? For I, the Lord, your God, am with you wherever you go. God is never a part of anything that fails. Never. There's a passage of scripture I want to read. I believe it's 16:9. Yeah, 2 Chronicles, if you have a Bible. Verse 16:9. God wants us to be on top. He wants to. I hear the voice of the Lord said he's wanting desperately. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. God says he's looking desperately for people who would take what I'm just teaching and just put it into practice. In fact, I hear the Lord says, I'm challenging you just to get before him. Just to get before him. And start with something small. Something kind of challenging, but small. And say, challenge him. Say, God, I want to be successful in this. Speak to my heart on which way I need to go. Take a pencil and paper so you get a posture. And just write down what he said. I mean, don't care what it is. I mean, even if it sounds crazy. Even if it's so far out in left field. It doesn't matter. Just write down what he said, what he wants you to do. And commit to it and say, Lord, I believe it. And just do it. Whatever he says to do, just do it. And watch God perform what he says he's going to do. Because he wants us to have that kind of faith. He wants us. He's desperately looking for us to have that kind of faith. So I know he's willing to do it. He's willing for us to test him in this so he can show himself to be who he says he is. And watch God do this thing for you. And you're going to be so blessed. And you're going to be so, your faith is going to rise to a whole nother level. And your challenge is going to be greater. You're going to ask God to do something else bigger. Watch what he does. Just ask him. Just ask him what it is that you're asking him. And don't make it selfish. Please don't make it selfish, because God's not into selfish stuff. But something that's something that he would be agree with. Like, he wants us to do things for others. We know he loves other people, right? He knows he loves our family. We know that. So let's think about it. There's something that he would want to be done that's beyond you. And watch him do it. Amen? Watch him do it. Watch him do it. Amen? So I'm going to close with this scripture from 2 Chronicles. Chapter 16, verse 9. It says this. The eyes, I'm reading from the NLT, the eyes of the Lord search what? To and fro through the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He says, what fool have you been? From now on you will be at war. He was telling these people, he says, God was telling him, he says, that word committed, those that are truly faithful, truly loyal. He said, I'm looking throughout the whole earth, God's saying. I'm looking throughout the whole earth. I want somebody that I can show my, I think one of the versions says what? Show my strength, show what? Looking forward to the whole earth. To and fro, it says what? To to show himself strong. He wants to show his power on their behalf. He wants to show his strength on their behalf. He wants to succeed them. He wants to show them how successful they can be. But it's not going to be because of them, their strength, but because of his strength. God says he wants to, he say he's desperately want to do this for us. But we're going to have to hear his voice. I'm not talking about scriptures. I'm talking about hearing his voice. We're going to have faith in what he says. We're going to have to be exact and obeying exactly. Don't modify, not to the right or left. Just do it. And then have the boldness and courage to do it. It will happen. It's just a matter of who's faithful enough, whose heart is committed, who's there. Because he's going to do it on somebody's heart who's committed to it. He's looking for some people to do it. And God wants to bless you to the point that not only will he meet the needs of your family, but it's going to be so great that you'll be the means for multiples, thousands of families. You can be like Joseph, that you'll save a whole nation by the wisdom of God. That's how he wants to bless. That's how at what magnitude he's looking at. Because Jesus is going to remain in heaven. All the other kingdoms of this earth are going to go down. The kingdom of people of the kingdom of God is going to come up, because he wants us to bring, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants the kingdom to be done on earth through his people. So he's trying to create a kingdom here through his people. But it's going to be people who operate by his plans. That's what he's looking for. And his plans are not like the world's plans. Totally different. A plan that never fails. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, we honor you, we bless you, and we praise you. And all we thank you that you have already ordained for us to be the head and not the tails. Not just as a church cliche, but in reality, among this earth. That our children will grow up in prosperity. Our children will grow up commanding nations and advising leaders. Even as Joseph advised Egypt. And Lord, we thank you. Your word stands timelessly true. If we would just hear your voice, if we would just have faith in what you say, if we would just commit to exact obedience, not without any modification, if we will just be bold enough and courageous enough that we won't be afraid and we won't get discouraged, we would see your goodness, we would see your grace in our lives. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I prophesy to you? Can I say something? Because God said something to me while I was praying. He was saying something as I was looking at you, and he kept saying, but God wants...